It sounds really scary to go out and start a business, and it is. But when you're passionate about it, all the cards are going to fall into place, and it's not going to work, but then you're going to try again, and you're going to get told no, but then you're going to meet the people who start saying yes, and over time, that mountain's going to grow bigger. So if you're scared, just do it. Go out there and start your own purpose-driven business.
Welcome to Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and using the influence of business to powerfully change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton, founder and CEO of Jailbreak Leadership. At Jailbreak Leadership, we unlock the power of AI by creating your AI strategy, streamline the technical and logistical implementation, and most importantly, guide the AI adoption of your team. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. On today's show, we shine a light on the bold, the brilliant, and the next generation that's shaping not only San Diego's future, but the world. Today, we are joined by three remarkable guests to celebrate and learn from the next generation that's bridging the gap between the desire for purpose-driven businesses and capitalism. Ladies first, we have Sage Dabi, graduate of Kroc School, a neuroscientist, entrepreneur, and business owner. She's the winner of the Fowler Concept Challenge and is proving the business for good model right here in San Diego. Sage, welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. It's such an honor to be here today.
Next, we have Sean Tran Cavetto, who is an undergraduate at USD, taking up computer science, a recent participant in the Social Innovation Internship Program sponsored by USD and Conscious Capitalism San Diego. And Sean has also been selected in the recipient of the Benjamin A. Gilman International Scholarship Program by the U.S. Department of State, which I definitely want to hear more about later.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad to be here.
And finally, we got the big kahuna himself back for another show, Dr. Andrew Byros.
Thanks, Jeff.
Andrew is the Senior Director for Social Innovation at the University of San Diego. Andrew is the catalyst behind advancing opportunity-focused programs and scaling purpose-driven initiatives. As you know, this podcast and all our collaborating organizations believe in doing business different and that business can be a force for good. It's also exciting today to explore what the next generation of business leaders are doing, not only to prepare, but how they're actually engaged in our community to lead this transformational movement. So, Andrew, maybe you can give us a little insight here first in regards to programs that USD is doing.
Oh, well, I have the best job in the world because I get to work with inspiring impact entrepreneurs like Sean and Sage, and they are emblematic of two of the programs in our portfolio at the University of San Diego when it comes to social innovation. I'm just excited to hear them talk about their experience, their impact, and their futures because it is bright, it is focused on ensuring that others and the environment prosper, and that they're going to make some money and realize financial security along the way.
Can you tell us a little bit about the social internship program?
So 89% of Gen Z, and actually 92% of millennials, say that a sense of purpose is important to their job satisfaction and well-being. And ladders are being lifted up for young people in order to enter the workforce. And so at the University of San Diego, we started the Social Innovation Internship, which pairs USD students with San Diego's purpose-driven economy. So that is for-profit social enterprises and nonprofits that have a financial model where they have recurring revenue. And every year, we have both organizations in the purpose-driven economy and students apply to be a part of this really dynamic, hybrid, paid internship program. And Sean was selected this past spring, and I'm excited for him to talk about his experience because he not only was a social innovation intern, but interned with a company, a USD alum and an alumnus of our Fowler Global Social Innovation Challenge, which Sage can speak to as well.
Can you talk about the Fowler Challenge a little bit too, just to give us a little baseline?
Yeah. So the Fowler Global Social Innovation Challenge is a keystone endeavor we do at the University of San Diego, where we bring together social innovators and entrepreneurs around the world who are developing ventures that address a social or environmental challenge and also realize profit along the way. This past May, we had over 100 social innovators from 15 countries come here to San Diego, pitch their innovative ventures that addressed the environment, health and well-being, sustainable agriculture, sustainable supply chain. And we awarded $75,000 in non-dilutive capital and $25,000 in in-kind services across 3 days. And really, it's inspiring. We provide this catalytic capital, but what I tell everyone when they travel from all around the world is that the most valuable thing is the entrepreneur sitting next to you. And we really seek to just create a network effect of impact-focused entrepreneurs.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. So the social internship program is close to my heart because I'm on the board of Conscious Capitalism, which is one of the partners in that. So, Sean, why were you drawn to this? You're an undergrad still, yeah?
Yeah.
So what are you taking up in school, and why did you decide to jump into the fray with the social internship program?
Well, right now I'm a computer science student with a minor in environmental science and Spanish. The way I got into the social innovation internship was I found a Google form. I really didn't know what to expect. I was sitting in the library and I was like, I've never had any job experience and I know how the job market is right now, so I might as well try. And I just sent it off with no expectations at all. And I suddenly get an email from Andrew saying, you've got an interview. You've been selected. And I was so excited because it was at a company, Ascender Systems, that really caught my eye because the work that they do makes a change in the world. And I've never had my experience had that effect on the world.
Why don't you share a little bit about what do they do and what were you doing there?
Yeah. Well, basically, Ascender Systems is a robotics company that tackles environmental problems. So they developed a robotic climber that climbs vertical poles. And for example, in wildfires, floodings, they provide assistance to the organizations that help the community. For example, they provide satellites, they provide communications, they give energy to the population that's there, and they provide services to the organizations that are there to help. And right now, my focus is in outreach. Well, it started out as outreach, but then as I got along, I started getting more and more responsibilities, which I'm really glad for. I remember when I first started, I was just in charge of, you know, receiving a couple of emails here and there. And I was like, okay, this is how I'm going to start off. But then I realized that it's a startup. It's a really small company and we're a team of 5 members. And my mentor, George, he really made me feel that I was part of the team and not just an intern. I was there to make an impact and not just do busy work. As soon as I got there, he told me, you're a part of this team and you're here to do this task. You're on your own. I'm not going to be there to babysit you because you're part of this team and you're going to contribute equally.
You got to own it.
Yeah, I got to own it.
And we're counting on you.
I remember being so nervous about it, but it really did help me gain that confidence in my career and in my personal life too. Even as I'm sitting here right now, I wouldn't have not been able to imagine myself doing this like a couple of months ago, and I'm really glad for it.
Love that.
Sean, you said a few things stick with me. One is you can't get experience without gaining experience. And the fact that you didn't have any workforce experience before this, I think is a huge, that's the problem we're seeking to solve with the social innovation internship. I love that a Google Doc just happened to fall into your lap. Jeff, a lot of scaffolding goes into developing a program like this. We had 64 organizations across San Diego apply to be a part of the social innovation internship. We reviewed all of them and ultimately selected 27. And then of those 27, we asked them to scope a project for students. Then we create that Google Doc, I imagine, that you're referring to is a menu of the projects and the host organizations. And then on the application, you're nodding your head. On the application, we ask students to rank choice their top 4 choices of the 27 from this past year. And then answer a few questions, provide a video. And then we score all of the students using a standardized rubric and then select 3 students to interview with a company. So, you know, Sean, you got selected, but then you had to go and interview with George. And what was that interview process like?
Well, I remember when I first got the link, I was just so surprised because I had never been something so official, even in clubs or meetings. You just throw the link and be like, set up. But I really, really wanted this and I knew that I had to work for it. So I really prepared a lot. This is an exposing George moment, but I really went deep into his history. I was searching through YouTube videos, the website, how he built it. And I remember finding a link, some unlisted videos on YouTube of him presenting to like a Shark Tank video. And during the interview, it went so smoothly because I had prepared for it. Afterwards, after I got the internship and I talked to George, he told me that when he first saw my resume, I was not the first choice. He just let me, I was kind of one of the bottom ones. When he actually talked to me and saw how prepared I was, he instantly knew that I was going to be the pick. And I think that just goes to show that if you want it, you can get it.
Well, I love that. Note to file, prepare. There's a lot of information out there today. Why not go get that information and understand it? I always say that to people, like, you want to meet someone else? Can you connect me with somebody? I go, well, listen to the podcast. It's first place you can go and get a lot of information.
George Muniz is a USD alum and was one of the USD representatives at the 2023 Fowler Global Social Innovation Challenge. And I've had the pleasure of working with George for years to just be a part of his impact journey, and was really excited that he wanted to be a part of the social innovation internship again, just because I love what he shared with you. It sounds like he gave you agency to really take flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember George was in the program last year. I remember his intern seemed like, again, lots of runway. Showed up to do something and then realized, oh, I can do lots of things. And she just stepped into it. That's what we got to do. The opportunity presents itself. Go for it. Sage, neuroscience to entrepreneur. Man, what a journey. Talk a little bit about, so you're out of school, about to get married, I hear. Got all kinds of things going on. So tell us a little bit about Sage. What's going on?
Yes. So I recently graduated with my master's in social innovation from the Kroc School of Peace and Justice. And I founded my own business, Ciao Bella, where we make sustainable hair accessories. I studied neuroscience in undergraduate, where I learned I really love problem solving. And naturally, entrepreneurship fell into my lap. Similar to what Sean said, if you want it, you can get it. And I think that neuroscience taught me a lot of that grit that you need for entrepreneurship, for running a business. And so with that, while at USD, I had the incredible opportunity to compete in the Fowler Global Social Innovation Challenge. That came after winning the Fowler Concept Challenge in the fall. And so with that win, Andrew offered me one of the very competitive spots. He said there's over 100 people. They're from all over the world. So I met individuals from Bangladesh, Africa. There were so many countries, I can't even remember them all. But the people there were so inspiring. Like he said, the network and the doors that are open because of that experience. That's what really stood out to me during that time.
So like Sean, I did a little research on you guys and learned a little bit about your business. Why don't you share what you do?
Yes. So
you got a really cool product.
Thank you. We figured out how to turn pineapples into hair ties. And so hair ties are really bad for the planet. A traditional hair tie takes 500 years to break down. And simply breaks down into toxic microplastics. Also, 15 million hair ties are lost or tossed every day. Anyone with long hair knows we always need a hair tie. And we also can...
Sean, you wear a hair tie? You're shaking your head.
We also can never find them because we're always losing them.
I don't have that problem.
Oh. Andrew knows. He has daughters. With that, pineapples also have a lot of waste. We all know pineapples. We love to eat them, but no one eats the leaves. So instead, those leaves are recycled. They are turned into a fabric and then turned into our hair ties. So our hair ties are very high quality, very durable. And then when our customers inevitably lose them, they're also good for the planet.
I love that.
Thank you.
So Sage won the Fowler Business Concept Challenge at University of San Diego. This is a campus-based concept challenge. She took home first place, and then we got to work together for about 5 months preparing her to perform on the world stage. And Sage, if I can pay you a compliment, what I loved about working with you, and I hope we get to keep working together, is how coachable you were. The growth that you made as an entrepreneur pitching your venture from the first time I saw it in, I don't know, November to May, just leaps and bounds. And that, I think, is a secret sauce of a successful impact entrepreneur, to learn, to grow. And it speaks, you know, young people now, only 6% young people say that climbing the corporate ladder is important. Really, young people now measure a professional growth by, can they learn? What impact do they have? Are they getting mentorship? And your growth, I think, is emblematic of that, taking that long view as you start your career.
Thank you very much. That's a really, really big compliment. Thank you, Andrew. I don't know everything, so I really appreciate it when anyone gives me any sort of advice. That is my favorite thing in the whole world. And I would not be where I am today without people like Andrew and other people helping to build Ciao Bella into what it is today.
So I have to share something here. When you get old like me, you always look at the younger generations. I'm not sure how the world's going to turn out given the next generation, because you guys do things differently than us older folks. And so being around this social innovation program, I've just been shocked by the students I met and even the resumes. So Conscious Capitalism had an intern this year. So I saw the resumes that came into us. And I got those. I showed them to my wife. I go, look at these kids. I can't believe these resumes. And then, of course, I get the chance to meet y'all. And it's just like unbelievable. I feel comfortable that the future is going to be okay with you guys.
Well, we learn from the best.
Andrew?
Both of you.
Are you paying her? You were talking about money earlier.
Well, to that point, Jeff, Sage, where can people buy these hair ties?
On our website, Amazon. And right now we are pre-launch. So it's a pre-order. And then we are launching in August.
We'll put a link into the podcast. How's that sound?
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff.
Sage, you chose to come to UST to study social innovation, to get a graduate degree in social innovation. What spurred you to make that choice?
I, along with I think everyone in this room, really believe that business should be a force for good. It's hard to imagine that people started businesses without that intention. And so for me, it's not just something I'm interested in. It's really my whole being. So I decided to pursue my master's in social innovation at the Kroc School because I wanted to meet more like-minded individuals and learn and grow and see how I could build that idea into something even bigger. And I really wanted to dive into the San Diego community knowing I'll be here long term.
The San Diego community, so brilliant that you're going to be here long term. I have also, so I've been here for 5 years. Do I get to claim San Diego yet, Jeff?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. What I have noticed is the nascent community of impact entrepreneurs represented through Conscious Capitalism San Diego, Be Local San Diego, Naturally, the BBB. I know I'm leaving someone off. I'm sorry. Cause, of course, Cause Conference. Stacy, what's up? And I am so bullish. If I could buy stock in the purpose-driven economy here in San Diego, I would. I'd empty my bank account because I really think something exciting is brewing. And it will be, Jeff, to your point, it's going to be led by young people. Sean, you're an engineer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're an engineer. Have you always had this impact focus, or did something, did working with George, you know, the more that you've learned, how are you thinking about your future versus when you said, yeah, I'm going to be an engineer?
Well, when I first started computer science, AI was just starting out and there was so many negative things about it. I was like, am I working towards the doom of the world or what is my purpose with the job that I'm doing? Mm. And it really made me think about it, of what I want to do, what is the impact I want to have. When I got that social innovation internship, I realized that I really can use my brain or anything, my actions for good. It doesn't have to be to go with a company that is for profit. You can be for profit and take care of your community at the same time. And that's just what I want to do. And with my path right now, I decided to go into environmental science, and George is like as center systems is the path into that. So that's really exciting.
The truth be told, I mean, every business has the opportunity to be a purposeful business, regardless of what you're, you could be make trash cans and still be a purposeful business. Yeah. It's about how you're managing and how you're looking at all the things the B Corp certification would look at. So that opportunity exists for everybody. You don't have to have some lofty outcome of a product to be a purposeful business. I think people get confused by that sometimes. I want to hear about this Benjamin Gilman International Scholarship Program. Sounds like something I want to do. You got an email or a Google Drive showed up in your...
Yeah.
Like most opportunities.
Eating breakfast.
I was just researching because I am about to go abroad next semester with UST. I'm going to go on Semester at Sea, which is
Semester at Sea.
Yeah. It is a ship where you go and travel to 11 countries, all continents, and you get to study on the ship and you get off at the ports and explore the countries you're in. So every class you take is related to the countries you are exploring. While I was researching this, I wanted to get into scholarships and figure out a way I can fund this. And that's when I came across the Benjamin Scholarship. It's an international scholarship from the US government, and they basically sponsor you and you get to represent the US at every country you're at. So they make conferences, you can represent the United States, and there's a whole big deal with the 250th anniversary. So I applied, and it's very competitive. I had, again, no expectations, like always.
But you did a great interview.
It was actually not an interview. It was just a form and a video. And I really tried on the video. I explained what I wanted to do and what my goals were, and it resonated with them, and I got accepted.
So you got kind of dual duty. So you have to honor the requirements of the scholarship while doing your little tour of sea here. That is unbelievable.
And try to have some fun along the way. Yes, you are in college? Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. Balance for everything, of course.
Shouldn't be too painful.
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of curious, what do you guys see? What's the future? I mean, are you guys excited about the future, or what's scaring you? What's the most exciting thing when you look to the future?
For a moment, I was sort of excited. But after going to the Kroc School and meeting all these wonderful people in the community, I am really excited. Maybe we live in a bubble here in San Diego, but there are so many like-minded individuals looking to change the world, that I think there really is a bright future. And for myself, my future, I hope to change the industry standards for hair accessories and make it so that these biodegradable plastic-free hair ties aren't just what you go and hope you get. It's the norm. These are sold everywhere. And if you buy plastic hair ties, that's garbage.
So you're looking to expand your product line into other areas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Sean, what are you excited about?
I am really excited for the future. I've been thinking about my career and my life so much recently, and there's just the ultimate, it always leads back to I want to make the place where I live a better place, and that's what I'm striving to do. I think there's so many pathways to it. There's so many outcomes, but that's the end goal. It'll always come back to that. Right now, I'm currently juggling 4 jobs.
So you went from 0 jobs to now you got 4.
Yeah.
We were successful.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Sounds like you actually have a problem.
But yeah, it's all hard work to work towards what hopefully after semester at sea, I'm looking into a program called NASA OSTEM. And that's my ultimate goal right now. It's a program where you apply to a portal and agencies from NASA select you. And I hope to get into the environmental side of it and data science and hopefully make the world a better place.
Love that.
Make this place a better place.
Yeah.
Hearing both of you, I think both of your paths and your futures point to what we can offer in higher education. It's experiences, right? That is what's valuable about taking time to really devote yourself towards a community of learning. It's networks. It's being able to meet other folks. And it's like George and Sage's, I know Sage has a Rolodex of confidants and counselors now because of her time at USD, who are excited. I count myself among them, who are excited to support her impact journey. And it's the development of metacognitive skills, which is just a really fancy way of saying, thinking about thinking and knowing that you can and developing, knowing how to structure your day or your time or work through hard problems to face a challenge, know that, hey, I can pick myself up from this. I have a community of people that care about me and I'm going to keep marching forward. Those traits that we can offer in learning organizations, be they in higher ed. I started my career in K-12. I believe that about K-12 as well. And in thinking about how organizations need to change and adapt to our times, I really believe experiences, networks, metacognitive skills, if we can help people get more of that, then more of us will prosper.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Can't say enough about the networks. I'm going to go back way, way, way back when I was in college. I was a junior and I played a lot of basketball in the gym. And the guy who's in charge of the alumni group played a lot of ball. He says, what are you doing this summer? I go, oh, I'm going home, get a job. He goes, any consideration of staying here on campus? I said, if I could get a job. I lived in Worcester, Massachusetts at the time. And the biggest employer was Norton. They made grinding tools. I remember going in and having an interview with this guy. And he had a stack of resumes that I'm showing probably about 6 inches high. And somehow I made the filter because I knew somebody. I think it was between me and some woman or girl. And she got the job. I didn't. But anyways, it got me in the room just purely because I'm playing basketball with somebody that had a connection. Your network is so important.
I have a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old, 2 daughters. And I was thinking the other day that I think I figured out the meaning of life. You guys want to know about it?
Yeah.
Please.
I was just thinking.
You heard it here first on Conscious Curiosity.
Here we go. Now, I was thinking, you know, the 3-year-old's going to start asking big questions, and both of them have the light within them. And I don't know if this is the meaning of life, but maybe it's a way to be successful and have impact. And it speaks to your point about networks, which is everyone just wants to be seen. And if you can create time and space to see people, you'll go far, and you'll also learn about them and yourself. But obviously, there's a lot of polarization and hatred spewed in our world that's coming at us from all angles. I sincerely believe that if folks just saw each other a little bit more, then yeah, we would realize more impact. So I'm sure the 3-year-old will look at me and, oh, Dad, so sage advice. Thank you so much.
Well, Sage is writing that down, so someone's believing you, Andrew.
There we go.
Sage advice, I love that.
Yeah. Ooh, trademark that.
It's like I live at the beach, and so I walk the boardwalk a lot. And I'm always amazed on how you can pass people. And I walk early in the morning, like at 5:30 in the morning, you can walk by somebody, relating two human beings out, and it's like the person doesn't even look at you.
You can give them a nod, right?
Yeah, just recognize there's another human.
Thumbs up. If they're running, I always give like, hey, like I'm out here, you're out here. Way to go.
So let me ask you the opposite question. What's scaring the hell out of you? Ooh. When you look out to the future?
That is a really good question.
You want me to, I'll save you. Let me go first.
Right, Andrew, go first. All right.
The lack of opportunities for young people scares me. And that could be because of corporate consolidation. That could be because of AI. That could be because of a disinvestment in companies and organizations that provide those opportunities. But when young people cannot realize financial security and also tie that to a sense of meaning and purpose, bad things happen in a civilization. And I think we have taken a step in that direction broadly in our global economy. And I'm doing everything that I can to make sure that we avert that stance and march in a direction where folks have opportunity to realize financial security and a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I feel like my answer is going to relate a lot to that. Because it really does come down to whether if I can get a job to pursue my goals. And in this day and age, as I said, you can always, if you want it, you can get it, but you can always do more. And that's the like unhealthy balance between it. Because in my free time, I can either hang out with friends or I can research a company. I can learn about this, the next AI news, the next company that I can apply to or anything. And it really does boil down to at one point, am I not enjoying the time that I have to pursue a time that I want, you know? And that is the thing that scares me the most. But I think I'm doing a good job and I hope I can manage that.
Just got 4 jobs. That's all, dude. I can manage it really well. What you got, Sage?
I think maybe what scares me the most is also what motivates me the most to succeed. And that would be to not succeed. And I just know that I have to keep going to get there. And so I know failing is good. Little failures are good, but ultimately, what scares me the most is maybe not seeing the hair care industry change. So I know I just have to make it happen.
What's a success? What will be success for you with Ciao Bella in the next year?
In the next year, getting these into a major retail store like Whole Foods.
Okay. Do you think there's someone listening that can help you?
Please.
Okay. Anybody in particular?
Jeff, do you know anyone?
I can't say I know anybody in the hair product business, but yeah.
If you work at Whole Foods, please call me.
There you go.
Jeff, what scares you?
Wow. One of the things I think was really interesting, I attended an event not too long ago downtown with the Burnham Center with One San Diego. And they were talking about what are the biggest problems in San Diego? And people, is it homelessness? Is it this? Or they went down a kind of litany of typical things we look at. And that wasn't what it was. It's really the social unraveling of our community, that people are just at each other. And for a politician, you got to have a bodyguard. My wife runs a nonprofit, and we just last week had a ribbon cutting for some housing that we put on the property for our social enterprise. So the people who work for us actually are housed now. We've got a little 64-square-foot cabins.
Congratulations.
So it kind of went viral. Fox News, a bunch of people on TV and all this. If you look at the comments, it's unbelievable, the negativity. I mean, it's probably 80% negative and 20% like positive. So that's what scares me. I fear we're just coming apart at the seams.
I'm ready to, we're going to have flip phones soon in my household just because I can't have that garbage infiltrating our home. And I think, let's ask y'all, like, do you have peers that are choosing to disengage? I know it is literally admitted to be addicting, but do you see a trend? You can say no if there isn't one, but I'm curious.
Well, I have seen people wanting to disengage. And yeah, you can take the occasional trip, distance yourself from the phone, but only like a day or two. You can't really stay away from the phone because everything's so interconnected to the internet now that if you like cut it off, you're basically cutting yourself off from any opportunity that you have.
And opportunities are so scarce.
Yeah.
Catch 22.
Exactly. I do see people trying to get away from it, but it's impossible. You get rid of Instagram, you miss out on things. So it's like, I see a lot of people around me who don't want to have it, but they don't really have a choice right now.
That sounds like a problem for an impact entrepreneur to address their skills and acumen towards.
I saw this thing. This was like probably 2 years ago now. I just never forgot the thought. I was on Noble Drive over here by UTC, and I'm sitting at the light, and there's a bus station across the way, and there must have been 30 people lined up waiting for the bus. It was one blind guy with his cane. Everyone else was looking at their phone. He's like the only guy that was like looking up. Everyone else was on the phone. I should have taken a picture of that. It was just so classic. Everybody's like in their own little world.
But then they're also so disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know the person standing next to you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always like to kind of put a little bow on this. I always like to ask, what's the big idea? Like, what's the one thing you want people to remember from this podcast? So whoever would like to go first, go for it.
Andrew, you had the meaning of life. Do you want to start?
I can go first. We can wait. This isn't live. Jeff will edit this.
What do you want people to know or feel?
Jeff, I want people to know that if you care about any of the topics that the four of us had the opportunity to discuss today, that there is a community for you here in San Diego. And yes, it's at the University of San Diego. Come find me. And it's also at the BBB, and it's at Conscious Capitalism. And I'm going to stop myself because, again, I don't want to leave out friends. There are too many great people and organizations that are doing impact-focused work here in San Diego that are marrying profit with purpose. If you have not connected or found your way towards that community, come find me on LinkedIn, find my email, go find Sage, go buy a hair tie. Sean's got four jobs. Don't go bother him. But our community is growing and we want you to be a part of it.
Or listen to the podcast because we have them all on the show.
Yeah, there it is. And share the podcast with your mom.
Yes.
Exactly.
To bounce off that, with this great community, if you have an idea and maybe you're not finding a current opportunity, I think the biggest takeaway I want people listening to this to get is create your own. It sounds really scary to go out and start a business, and it is. But when you're passionate about it, all the cards are going to fall into place and it's not going to work. But then you're going to try again and you're going to get told no. But then you're going to meet the people who start saying yes. And over time, that mountain's going to grow bigger. So if you're scared, just do it. Go out there and start your own purpose-driven business.
Love that. What you got, Sean?
Yeah, well, two incredible points. And from what we've talked about, I feel like the most important thing is to just, like you said, go out and make it happen. To you, the person listening, you really can do everything. You just got to give yourself the time and prepare and just make it happen.
Awesome, guys. Love that. I want to add in one little thing here because I've had a little OWL myself. We're creating a new kind of product here at Jailbreak Leadership, which is focusing on AI transformation. I mean, looking at how, what should your AI strategy be, helping with the implementation. But the big idea is AI adoption. So I've always been driven by the idea of employee engagement and all that. And so we're kind of going on a path. I put some people together, put this little thing together. And then I had an interview with someone here the other day, Jack Mardak, and he handed me his book. And I started reading his book and I forgot what my higher purpose was of what I was doing. I mean, it was like, okay, I like this. I want to get the AI game. And I got the thing about my whole life has been making work meaningful. That whole idea that 80% of people don't find work meaningful just seems like an atrocity to me. I'm like going, all of a sudden this light bulb went on and said, oh my goodness, maybe AI is the answer to that. We actually could make work meaningful. We could change that number dramatically if we could apply this the right way. So I kind of offer that up just from the standpoint that often an idea might have something way deeper behind it. You start unpacking a little bit that you can show up for it and go, wow, this is pretty cool. So anyways, just thought I'd toss that in there.
Can't wait to learn more about it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Me too. Comes up in every podcast now. Well, that's our show for the day, and I appreciate all you guys coming in here and the amazing things that you guys are doing in the future in front of you. It's going to be, I like, follow behind you, two of you, and see where you go. It's going to be amazing. So thank you for that.
Thank you Jeff.
You're here.
Well, that's our show for the day. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, and Cause San Diego, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, until next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best. We're all counting on you.